Those of you who know me will know that when I come and visit you, which is often, I love to bring Premier magazines. And amongst the many things that God generously asked me to do, I'm an ambassador for Premier. And I'm delighted to do that. I think it's a great organization. As you may know, we have a number of radio stations. More than a million people listen to Premier every week, incredibly, wonderfully. And we also produce these magazine, Youth and Children's Work, which I do commend to you. It's an amazing read, and there is resource material for those of you who are youth leaders. Oh, yeah, you know, that resource material. If you are a woman or have met one, I personally have, Woman Alive. We've just taken this title on, and this is, I think, only the second edition we've done. It's quite a bold thing for us to do, but we feel there is a ministry there. We felt that we could inject some more life into it, was what it was about. And I'd love you to take a copy of this again, if you're a woman or no one. If you had, this is where you could be really useful. You don't have to do this, not a condition, but if you had some honest comments you'd like to feed back, which could be from that end of the spectrum to that, you know, whatever, it would just be really helpful to hear it, because it's new to us. We want to help it to be something that will thrive, and honest feedback would be brilliant. And Voice of Hope, daily readings for 3 months of the year, I commend that to you. And Christianity Magazine, for some reason I didn't bring up a copy, but they're at the back. Do please take those things. You're welcome to do so. Well, great privilege and joy to contribute to this series you've got on mission. I was going to say there's nothing I'd rather preach on. Fantastic. And then to see the theme you've given me, mission with words. Sermons, often you feel, as you listen to sermons, don't you, you think, that's a brilliant sermon for someone else. Oh, I do hope they're really listening, because they'd be really blessed by, you know. This is not one of those sermons. This is for you. I'm speaking to you, and I have a very direct, specific intention, and that is, whoever you are, that you'll be encouraged by what I say, and that it will help you to believe that as you live as a Christian, there are things you need to say, and I want to help you and to encourage you in that. You'll know the quote, preach the gospel at all times, when necessary, use words. Who allegedly said that? St. Francis of Assisi. It's always worth just being a little bit careful with quotes like that. It is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. He died in 1226, a long time ago, really sad, but died 1226. The earliest authenticated version of that particular quote comes from 1991. So, conclusion, not a difficult conclusion, St. Francis of Assisi didn't say it. Quite interesting, but he didn't say it. Do watch things like that. Chuck Swindoll was the first person to quote it, and it then did the rounds and has been continually mentioned for 25 plus years. St. Francis of Assisi didn't do it. And it's actually quite a damaging quote, because it suggests to us that the very thing we want to hear, that actually we don't need to share our faith after all, is okay. You know, just look at your life, and you don't need to get all sort of uptight about sharing your faith. It's not a Christian comment, he says boldly. This is what the New Testament says, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So that's what the Lord is saying to us. We need to be ready to speak. Of course, it's absolutely right that actions speak louder than words. That is undoubtedly the truth. It's vital that our actions are supportive of our words. St. Francis did say, this is well authenticated, it is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. So he did say things which are close to what Chuck Swindoll put into his mouth, but it's not the same. We've got to make sure that our lives and our words fit together. So in our reading tonight, really exciting reading. Thank you, Bronwyn, for reading it for us. We have this extraordinary story of the demon-possessed man. I'm not a medic. I'm not going to get into what exactly he is suffering from. You can come to your own conclusions if you are that way inclined. He's known as Legion. A legion, as you probably know, was Roman legion was a regiment of 6,000 men. He had some kind of multiple personality disorder. He had problems, and he was very scary. He lived in amongst the tombs. He cut himself. He didn't have any clothes on. He was smelly. It's not an attractive picture. Interestingly, the story is so significant, it's in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And really interestingly, I didn't dig deeper into this, but Mark, who, as you will recall, tends to shorten everything, you know, he's rushing all the time to get to the key moments as he perceives of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Mark tends to shorten all the stories from other people. Here he lengthens it, and he gives us detail about this madman. It says in Mark's gospel, he'd often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Not a happy picture. Interestingly, amidst all this confusion of his mind, whatever medically was going on with him, he declares the identity of Jesus, one of the first people to do so. Jesus, Son of the Most High God, he says. Jesus is able to recognize what he's dealing with, and he sends the demons from this man at their request into a huge herd of pigs, numbering about 2,000 people. It's a very dramatic day. The man is set free. The man is cured. And we read that he is dressed and in his right mind. And the people see him, and they're even more terrified by what's going on. They don't want anything to do with him. They know his past. They also know that the region has suffered a huge economic loss. 2,000 pigs. Yeah, that's a significant loss. And they conclude that not only this man, but Jesus are thoroughly bad things and want to get rid of them. The man, understandably, was keen to stick with Jesus. You certainly understand that. He had a good experience by being set free, but Jesus says, no, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went and spoke widely about Jesus, and that area, the Decapolis, heard this amazing story. Do you remember that many of you were here for that wonderful evening last year, Easter time, just before Easter, wasn't it, when we read through Mark's Gospel, and that was lovely to do, one of our six services. Was it the Sunday before Easter? It was around there, wasn't it? Very good, lovely. Let's do it again. Time and again, the end of Mark's stories, he can't resist saying, and the people were amazed. And it's interesting, the other synoptists don't say it, but Mark has to get it in, and the people were amazed. Well, it's amazing. We understand that. So this man had an incredible story to tell. Here I'm coming to speak to you personally. You have a story to tell. And you're going to say to me, but Jonathan, it's nothing like as amazing as this man. I mean, if Jesus, boss, if he has set you free from 2,000 demons, then you have got a story to go around. But you think your story is pretty lame compared with that. To be honest, I used to have a bit of a complex about this. I'd go to meetings as a teenager, particularly, where I'd hear people talk about their lives of crime and violence. Maybe they were Hell's Angels or something like that, being the period, you know, and they'd been violent and they'd had a period in prison. And then they met Jesus. And I think, that's a great story to tell. And I looked at myself and I said, God, my story would be really boring by that comparison. You know, I've been late on a couple of library books, but apart from that, you know, it's been a fairly straight run. You know, and you hear other stories about people have been on drugs for years and in rehab, they came and you think, perhaps I need to experiment with some of these things in order to have a story to tell. But here, this is the point. We all have a story to tell. And the significance of the story is that it's our story. And actually, as you tell your story, it cannot be gainsaid. What you have experienced of God is on the record. When you say to somebody, I went through this really difficult time and God gave me such peace. It was incredible. They can't say, oh no, you didn't. It's on the record. That's your experience. What this story says to me is whatever your story, and none of us will have a story like this, surely. Talk to me afterwards if you have. I'd love to hear it. But let's assume that none of us have stories like Legion. But we've all got a story that is our story, which is the authenticity of the journey we've been on. We've all got a story to tell. That's my first point. We've all got a story to tell. We've all got some experience of God. However slight, however unimpressive as you think, we've all got a story to tell. Can I ask you for a moment just to reflect on this? What one word would describe the importance of God in your life? In what way has he touched your life? Just one word. I don't want an essay. What one word would describe? Some of you will be peace. Some of you will be forgiveness. Some of you will be hope. Just reflect. What one word would best describe? I mean, let's even make it a bit real. Where, let's say at work or at school, college, you know, somebody's really interested in what makes you tick. You know, why do you go to the next? Why do you go to the sixth? What's that all about? What has God been to you? What's the one word that comes to mind? Just share with a neighbour for a moment. What one word would be the big one? Find somebody who looks friendly. And even if they don't look friendly, just what one word? Okay. Given that you were only sharing one word, that one word, just shout out me what some of those words were. It'd be interesting to hear because I'm nosy. Over here, word, love, trust, acceptance, big one, friend. Sorry, faithful, purpose. That's really good. Thank you for doing that. We need to find ways of reflecting on what God really means to us. What's the heart of the story for us? We've all got a story to tell. For me, being brought up in a Christian home, I mean, it's a really dull story, but loving Christian home, always been to church, always heard the stories of Jesus. All of that. But as a little boy, perhaps because it was such a secure home, I remember the first time I bumped into the fact of death, and I found it terrifying. The thought that this amazing security and love of my home, of family, that this could come to an end. And I have vivid pictures. I would think I was 7 or 8 of really being fearful of death, because it would mean that this lovely experience of life would suddenly come to an end. How do you get with that? And for me, becoming a Christian was about peace. It's fine. You're in God's hands. You've got nothing to fear. So it's just my story. I mean, when you share something that's real like that, which isn't as impressive as being in Hell's Angels and serving a prison sentence and all that, I know, I can't do that. But actually, when you say, that's my experience of God, nobody can say, oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't find peace. No. Share your story. And this story says to me, the story of the demoniac says to me, we need to find ways of sharing our story as simply and clearly as possible. I don't believe, and I know this is why many people don't want to share their faith, they're pretty sure that there are people at their work or school or college who can ask them some really difficult questions. And we fear what we'd do when they say, yes, but why does God allow so much suffering in the world? I think our responsibility is actually not just to come up with slick, clever answers. It's to tell our story, to put on the record what we've experienced of God. If people ask you a question that you can't answer, I think one of the most winsome and attractive things to say to anybody is, thanks so much for asking me the question. I haven't a clue what the answer is, but, you know, let's keep talking about it. Don't claim what you don't know. The problem of evil is a problem for all of us. And we believe that our God weeps with us as he sees the suffering of the world. Why would God allow terrible fires in Australia? Why would he do that? It's a loving God. I haven't got a slick answer to that. But tell your story. Share what Jesus has done for you. I have never met anyone who's become a Christian because they've got a whole list of really good answers to their questions. It's not like that. But when you share your story of the reality of God for you, then it really can change people. So, progressing step by step, we must speak. That's where we began. We all have something to say. We all have a story to say. Thirdly, I just say we need to be clear as to what our story is. Working with the church in Reading over the last few years, we did one specific exercise that we found really helpful, and I just commend it to you. We said we need to write down, I think it's good to write things down, our story in 300 words. And 300 words became quite a part of the conversation of the church. You know, have you written your 300? You know, saying what God means to you. In what way has God changed your life? What's your story? And we found it really good as a church to reflect quite simply. So we're talking about something which only going to take us 2.5 minutes or so to speak, depending on the speed that you speak. But to clarify what our story is. And then, because 300 words is a neat period of time, 2.5 minutes or so, we used many of those in services. It became, well, let's share these stories. And became an encouragement to the church to say, let's really reflect on what is the story? What is the thing that we want to pass on to other people? So we're commanded to share our story. We've all got a story. We need to be clear about the story. Then I want to say, we're all ambassadors. We were thinking about this word last week. We're all ambassadors. And so God calls us to look for opportunities to share our faith. Ephesians 5, 19 to 20. Paul is in prison. You might well want to say to Paul, you know, chill. You know, it must be really difficult to say. We don't have any expectations of what you'll do in prison. We're not looking for you to do heavy ministry in prison. Just get through it, mate. You know, we'll look forward to seeing you and having you at a prayer meeting sometime. But here's Paul. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Good for him. What he's saying is, yeah, I'm in prison, and what a great opportunity. What a great opportunity. Friends, pray for opportunities. Pray daily for opportunities. Often, in my experience, the opportunities to say something about God are normally fairly brief. They're not an opportunity to stand there, and probably even 300 words is too many. But we do get the opportunity to say something good about God. Who knows what the link might be tomorrow morning? Do anything good over the weekend? Yeah, had a great time at church last night. Oh, wow, what's that about? That's different. Never met anybody who's done that. Why on earth do you go to church? Little opportunity. Doors open. Don't walk through it with your floppy Bible with some significant verses that you think might bless them. That probably won't go well. But share something of your story, of just how important this is to you. Look for opportunities. Interestingly, Jesus says to the demoniac, so the demoniac wants to go with Jesus, and we get that, and we feel pastorally sensitive to him. You know, we understand why he'd want to go with Jesus. Jesus says, go back home and tell them what the Lord has done. Go back home. And I suspect the demoniac's thinking, that's the most difficult thing you could ask me to do. Do you remember in Acts chapter 1 where Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And there are many people who say, oh, ends of the earth, bit of adventure, love to do that. But Jerusalem, next door neighbours, the family, are you kidding? But we need to start where we are. We need to start with those who know us, sharing what Jesus has done for us, sharing with our friends at school and college, sharing with our friends at work, our next door neighbours. Go to the warm relationships first. Just a final word. This is all very practical. It's all about you. It's all about you. You've got a story to tell and you need to share it with other people. I was in Suffolk last month for a funeral, actually, and somebody came up to me and he said, Jonathan, you're the reason I'm a Christian. And, you know, that's a lovely moment, and I thought, I like that, you know. And then I thought about his story and thought, that was really kind of him, and I really appreciate that. That's nice. That's wonderful to think you've been involved. But actually, that isn't the truth. The truth is that I was a link in the chain. I was one link in the chain. I'm not denying that. I was involved. Russell was around, and I was certainly involved in a number of ways. But there were loads of other people involved. And most significant of all was Margaret, his wife. We're links in the chain, folks. As ministers, you know, we have that kind of opportunity, and that's great. What a privilege. As a friend, you have opportunities. As a youth leader, Sunday school teacher, whatever you do, you know, we have our opportunities. But this is a lovely thing, isn't it? We don't need to feel the whole responsibility is on us. We're doing it together. We're links in the chain of bringing God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. So be encouraged. Your story might not look as impressive as the demoniac legion. You may not be able to tell a story that's going to grab the headlines, but you've got your story to tell. And I pray that God will give you courage and strength and every encouragement to share your story of what God has done for you. Amen. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank you so much that we have good news. Thank you that you have touched our lives and you have given to us peace, forgiveness, love, faithfulness. You have given us so many blessings, and we want to say thank you. And Lord, especially as we come towards the table now, as we come to thank you for sending Jesus into the world to be our Saviour, we thank you that we have met Jesus as our own personal friend. And thank you that we have this lovely responsibility of passing on this message to others so that others may become his friends also. Lord, hear our prayers and encourage us, we pray, to be faithful ambassadors for you in this new week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Seats and we're going to pray together. We're going to spend some time in prayer now, and we're going to pray for our mission and our outreach and ourselves within that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are here this evening for your amazing grace that has brought us to believe. We come before you, we want to say sorry for all the ways in which we let you down. And we thank you for your grace and forgiveness in Jesus. We thank you for those people in our lives who were used by you and first helped us to understand what the Christian faith was all about, who helped us to know your love and who took the risk of sharing their faith in what they said or did. We thank you for those people who first helped us to connect with the living faith. And so let's take a moment now to be thankful for those people, and you might like simply to name them out loud. And we know, Lord, that we have to carry on doing what was done for us by sharing the faith that we now have. And we pray for all the activity of St. Nick's. We pray for the Alpha course beginning next week and pray for the other Alpha courses starting up in other churches across Newbury. And we pray that you would draw people in to come and find out more. We pray for hidden treasures as it starts up next month, and the ministry it will be among preschoolers and their carers. And we pray for Meet Monday, as the team tell those with learning disabilities all about you. We pray for the planning meeting tomorrow evening, that you'd give them the creativity and the inspiration that they need as they plan. And across the world, we continue to pray for the mission of Biogems, with whom we partner in Uganda. We thank you so much for the safe return of Tanya and Steve, Belinda, Paul and Megan, and Liesl and Peter. And we pray that the seeds sown at the children's camp last week will bear long-lasting fruit in those lives. And we pray for the church in the regions of Australia, where it seeks to support those whose lives have been devastated by the fires there, and now with the fear of flooding. May your church stand out in those communities as being the key agency offering both love and practical support at this time. And Father, finally, we bring before you our own hesitation to share our faith. Give us hearts full of love and lives that are centered on you, so that our words and our actions all match up. May we talk naturally of Christian things and talk of other things in a Christian way, in how we respond to things in the news, issues that we come across in our workplaces and schools and in how we care for other people. May we not be ashamed of being your followers this week, but be ready to go and tell those around us how much you've done for us. Give us confidence in our own stories and the difference you've made in our lives. God of amazing grace, you know us and you love us and you hear our prayer. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wonder if you would now stand with me and we're going to share the peace together. A handshake or a hug or whatever. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled or afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you." So let's offer one another a sign of peace. The words that we're going to use this evening come from the worship of the Iona community. And bearing in mind, we've been thinking about how we live our lives outward facing and how we are missional with our words and tell others about Jesus. This fits well with some of the Celtic expressions of Christianity, that worship is about all that we are and all that we do, both inside and outside the church. We don't divide our life into compartments that are sacred and holy and parts that are secular. We travel a journey with God in the ordinariness of life every day, eating and sleeping, conversations, work, homework, excitement, boredom, happiness and sadness. So there are going to be some words that are going to come up, and so we're going to join together in this prayer of invitation. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Stay with us, for day is ending. With friend, with stranger, with young and with old, be among us tonight. Come close to us, that we may come close to you. Forgive us, that we may forgive one another. Renew us, so that where we have failed, we may begin again. Amen. Blessed are you, O God, for you have brought forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, O God, for you have created the fruit of the vine. In the beginning you watered the earth, that man and woman might have food and drink. Here at your table you offer us bread and wine for the journey, to nourish us as sons and daughters. And so with all our sisters and brothers before us and beside us, we praise you from our hearts for your unending greatness. And so let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.